So let's pray. Father, we come before you in Jesus' name, and we thank you, Lord, that your Spirit is here already. Thank you so much. And we ask, Lord, that you would bless this offering, and I pray, Father, that it meets every single need that this church has to advance the kingdom of God right here in Green Bay. And Lord, we ask that your presence would, again, just continue to be with us as I minister the word today. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 You guys go ahead and bring your offering up. And any of those visitors' cards, you can just drop it right in there. That'd be great. While you're doing that, I want to read you five things, how football is related to church. Are you guys interested? Quarterback sneak. Church members leaving quietly during the closing hymn. Thank God we don't have a closing hymn, so you got to stay. The draw play. What kids do with the order of service bulletin during the worship service. Drawing all over it. The 2-minute warning. The point in the service when you realize that the sermon is almost over and begin to gather up your kids and your belongings. After you forget what I say the last 2 minutes. Sudden death overtime. What happens to the attention span of the congregation if the preacher goes too long? I never do that. Blitz. The rush for the bathroom following the closing prayer. Isn't that the truth? Or the door. Which one is it? I don't know. But we wanted to just have fun with this and ask everybody to wear their team's jerseys and shirts and hats and all that stuff. And back home, we did this in the past and always had a real good time with it. So you guys stick around after the service. Love to get to talk with you and meet some of the people that I haven't got to meet already. So if you would, turn with me to Jeremiah chapter 2. We're going to start with verse 4 and go through verse 6. And those that have not met me yet, and this is your first time, I'm from Tennessee. I've been here for 5 months. This is my wife, Dana, right there. And if you don't understand what I'm saying because of my little draw there, you can get with her afterwards and she'll give you the cliff notes, all right? So, also, we're finishing up the series on the Holy Spirit today. And if you want that series, there is a basket back there in the back. It says, Miss Something, with a question mark, and it's got CDs on it. And if you want to get that series, just talk with Randy, and we can get you that entire series. How many of you guys enjoyed it so far? Has it opened your eyes about the workings of the Holy Spirit and what it does? Okay, there it is in the back. And you can just fill that out, and Randy can get that to you the following Sunday. It'll be pinned up on the back there on the sound booth wall. Or a majority of the time, he can get it to you before you leave if you stick around. So, all right. So let's draw a conclusion to the series on the Holy Spirit. In Jeremiah 2, 4 through 6. I think it's up there. Yeah, there it is, if you don't have your Bibles. It says, Hear the word of the Lord, O house of Jacob, all you clans of the house of Israel. This is what the Lord says. What fault did your fathers find in me? This is the Lord speaking. That they strayed so far from me. They followed worthless idols and became worthless themselves. They did not ask, Where is the Lord? Who brought us up out of Egypt and led us through the barren wilderness, through a land of deserts and rifts, a land of drought and darkness, a land where no one travels and no one lives? Whenever the children of Israel were brought out of captivity, what happened was God demonstrated his presence by doing this, and he did it in a dramatic way. He doesn't do that today, which I think would be pretty cool if he did. But what he did back then is so the people would know, because they had been in captivity for 400 years. Everybody say 400 years. 400. That's a long time. And so a lot of of Israel had forgotten about their God, because their captivity was so oppressive that they just couldn't believe that there'd be a loving God that put themselves through all this stuff. How many guys have ever, has that went through your head before? How could a loving God do something like that? Well, here, the reason why is because the children of Israel fell into sin repeatedly over and over again, and God allowed them to be put into captivity. And what happened was when Moses came in and said, "Let my people go," they went out in a dramatic fashion. And what happened was God demonstrated that his presence was with them by a pillar of cloud, a humongous cloud by day that hovered over them in the desert. And then at night, there was a pillar of fire to light the way. So it wasn't just like a Bic lighter fire. I mean, this thing was like a volcano. I mean, it was just the huge thing. And by day, it was a pillar of cloud. And so God demonstrated himself. And so everywhere the children of Israel went, wherever they camped, wherever the pillar of cloud stopped, or the pillar of fire stopped, there the children of Israel would camp and they would build their altars and everything else. And one day they got used to God. They got used to his presence. They got used to him just being around. And one day God withdrew his presence. The cloud was gone. The fire was gone. But nobody seemed to notice. Nobody seemed to wonder what happened. Nobody was wondering what happened to this big cloud that hovered over them, or this fire that led the way. Nobody wanted to figure out what was going on. And this is what God said in context in Jeremiah 2. Let me read it again. It says, "Hear the word of the Lord, O house of Jacob, all you clans of the house of Israel. This is what the Lord says. What fault did your fathers find in me, God is saying, that they strayed so far from me? They followed worthless idols and became worthless themselves. They did not ask, where is the Lord? Who brought us up out of Egypt and led us through the barren wilderness, through the land of deserts and rifts, a land of drought and darkness, a land where no one travels and no one lives?" He's saying, no one said, "Where am I at?" Nobody said, "Where did he go?" Israel had lost the blessing in the presence of the Lord. And amazingly, no one seemed to care, despite God's powerful working in their lives and for them. No one had the discernment to ask, "Where's the Lord?" Now, temple worship went on, just like Moses had commanded it to. They did their sacrifices, the priests did their thing, the people came into the temple like they were supposed to. Everyday life went on. Church went on every Sunday, every Wednesday. People came into the church. They did their thing. They gave, they worshiped, they sang, they played, they gave their best. And somewhere in us doing church, they lost God. They forgot to say, "Where's God?" There's a guy by the name of Samson. How many of you guys have ever heard his name before? Samson was a pretty strong individual. Everywhere he went, he stood out. He was one of the judges. And so he had one of those boisterous voices and those kind of temperaments and personalities where he drew everybody in the room. How many of you guys know people like that? And so wherever Samson went, I mean, this guy could draw a crowd. But he was also a Nazirite. And he had certain stipulations on his life that he could not do. Couldn't cut his hair. He couldn't do all these different things. But Samson had a little wild streak in him. And he liked to go to the enemy's camp, into this particular lady's house. Anybody tell me what her name was? Delilah. And one day, he's resting in her lap, and his flowing hair is, you know, it's in her lap, and she's just stroking his hair, and she's trying to get information out of him, and he's being played like a fiddle, and he doesn't even know it. And she said, "Samson, what's the deal with your strength? What's the source of your strength?" And he was like, "Well, you know, if you bind my hands up, My powers will go away, and I'll be just like everybody else. Now, Samson was the strongest man alive. God had endowed him with Superman-like strength. And he killed thousands of people. And he went to sleep in her lap, and she woke him up, and she said, "Samson, the Philistines are upon you. Wake up." And he woke up, and he broke his bonds, and he was ready to fight. And she said, "You lied to me. You lie, you tricked me. You told me that the secret of your power was if I bound your hands." And he goes, "Well, if you bind my hands with these certain cords, these special cords, then I'll be just like anybody else." So he lays back down and goes to sleep again in her lap. And she wakes him up. She shakes him. "Samson, your enemies are upon you. Get up and defend yourself." He wakes up with no problem and breaks those bonds again. So she gets irritated. He leaves. He comes back the next day, lays down in her lap again. Samson's just, he's just got that wild streak in him. Knows what she's not supposed to do, but he just can't help it. And so he's laying there again, and she's talking to him sweet nothings, and he's buying into every bit of it and stroking that pretty hair of his. And she said, "Samson, would you please, please, pretty please, tell..." No, that's not in the Bible, but but it's my version. "Tell me what it is that is the source of your strength. Please tell me." So he goes, "Well, it's my hair. If you cut my hair off, I'll be just like anybody else. I'll lose my strength, and I'll be just like any other man." Now, this is the guy that rips off the city gates and flings them out of the way. I mean, this guy is like comic book strong. And so he goes to sleep. She cuts his hair off, and she wakes him again. "Samson, your enemies are upon you. Come and wake up and to defend yourself." So he wakes up, and the Bible says this: he tried to shake himself free like he had done in the past, but he did not realize that the Spirit of God had left him. And the Bible says that the enemies came in and they beat him down and took spears and plucked his eyes out. And they bound him to a mill press, and the rest of his days were spent out turning that mill. Of course, he redeems himself in the end, but the point I want to say here is that he fooled around with things that he shouldn't be fooling around, and he did it to the point where he was so casual about it, to the point where he couldn't feel the conviction of God anymore, that he didn't realize that the Spirit of God had left him. And so when he tried to rescue himself and to free himself from the bondage of sin, he could not. Didn't even realize that the Spirit of God had left him. And the children of Israel were wandering around in the desert doing the same thing. They were doing their sacrifices. They were doing their good deeds. They were going to church. They were walking around the mountain like they were supposed to do. But they had forgotten and did not notice that the pillar of fire and smoke were gone. They were too busy doing their good stuff that they forgot that the presence of God had left them. But you and I have hope today. And that is in Isaiah 63:11. Let's look at that. Isaiah 63:11. Says this: "Then his people recalled the days of old." Isn't that the truth? We get in trouble. We get to a place where we quiet down, and what happens is that we begin to remember the goodness of God. We begin to remember that whenever we're in trouble, that we can turn to the Lord. And so they begin to remember. Isaiah says, "Then his people recalled the days of old, the days of Moses and his people. Where is he who brought them through the sea, but the shepherd of his flock? Where is he who set his Holy Spirit among them, who sent his glorious army of power to be at Moses' right hand, who delivered the waters before them and to gain for himself everlasting renown? Skip down to 16. But you are our father. Though Abraham does not know us as, or Israel acknowledges us, you, O Lord, are our father, our redeemer from old is your name. Israel is beginning to remember where they came from. They're beginning to remember who their God is. They're beginning to remember where their redemption lies. And their redemption lies in the Lord. Now, Moses got to the heart of the matter when he asked God for more people, for help to lead the people. He felt so inadequate. All the time he felt inadequate. You know, I can't speak for you, Lord, because I got this speech impediment. I can't talk. He gave God a whole list of why he couldn't do things. And Moses, being wise, asked the Lord. He asked God for help in Exodus 33, 14. He said, Lord, the Lord replied, my presence will go with you, and I will give you rest. Then Moses said to him, if your presence does not go with us, do not send us up from here. How will anyone know that you are pleased with me and your people unless you go with us? What else will distinguish me and your people on the face of the earth? Moses said, God, I need wisdom on how to lead your people. And the Lord's reply was that he is with you, that I'm with you. And Moses said, I don't want to go anywhere. Don't send us a foot. Don't send us an inch if you're not going to go with us. Because how is anybody else going to know that we're different from any other nation? What's going to distinguish us from the Philistines or all the other people in that country? How are we going to distinguish us from everybody else? Go with us. We don't want to go if you don't go. And so, like that old hymn says, where you lead me, I will follow. Where you lead me, I will follow. No turning back. No turning back. And so Moses said, look, I'm going to lead these people and you're going to give me wisdom, but do not lead us anywhere where you're not willing to go. We want you to go with us. And we should be the same way in our lives. You know, so many of us have so many plans in our life that we've stopped to ask God, is this your plan for my life? Do you know that God desperately wants to share his heart for your life? He wants to share his plan for your life. God's not so aloof that he will not answer your prayer. He is always, 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 always with us. Amen? He's not an old, decrepit God that sits up on the throne somewhere that doesn't understand what we went through. The Bible says that Jesus was tempted in every way. Why was that? So that he could relate to you and I. Pastor, you telling me Jesus was tempted to sin? Absolutely. The Bible says that he went out into the desert and he was tempted by the devil himself. And so we find Jesus all the time in the scripture where he's going and finding a quiet place to pray. Early in the morning, he'll rise up and get away from his disciples and get away from the three that he really loves in there, Peter, James, and John. And he gets himself away and he talks to the Father and he asks the Father, Lord, what would you have me do today? Because Jesus said, I only want to do what I see my Father doing. You know, as my boys, when they were really small, all they wanted to do was what I was doing. They wanted to imitate their daddy, and they still do. Joshua still wants to be a painter. That's what I used to do. I used to paint houses. He still wants to have a red truck that I used to have and all these different things. And, you know, Christian's got his own ideas about what he wants to do because he's 12 years old. And but Joshua, he's still, you know, wanting to do what Daddy does. And you know what? We need to be the same way. We need to be about what the Father wants us to be about. Amen? It's time to push our agendas aside and ask the Holy Spirit to empower us and reveal to us what His plan is for our life. And not get stuck in just doing our own good things, doing our own religious good things. I said a few weeks ago, we get caught up in doing so many good things in church that we forget to worship the Lord. We forget why we're here. We get caught up in doing our own good deeds that we forget about worshiping God. We're like the children of Israel who got caught up in wandering around the mountain so much that they forgot that God had left them. They didn't even realize it. And God is saying, did I do something wrong to you? What's going on? You're not even asking where I'm at. I mean, what's going on? And as people are so caught up in their everyday life that they forgot to honor God, they forgot to worship God. You know what, guys? We can get caught up in doing so many good things. My former pastor's got a plaque on his wall, and he said, knowing what not to do in ministry is just as important as knowing what to do in ministry. It's the same thing in life. You guys can get caught up in doing so many good things that you drown yourself in your own goodness, that you measure your morality not by the Word of God, but by your own goodness. And friends, that's when you get into that area, you have forgotten God. Because you're no longer judging yourself by the absolute truth. Because first of all, if you don't believe that this book is the absolute truth, then you judge your own self by your own morality and you set your own rules and you determine what is good and what is bad. But the Word of God has been given to us so that we may have life and that more abundantly. He has given us the Word of God so that we would know the way, the truth, and the life, so that we would not wander aimlessly in this world, so that we would not constantly go around the mountain for 40 years wondering why we can't get over and falling into the same sin every single time. Church, the deciding factor is the Holy Spirit. His Holy Spirit enables us to follow through with the Word of God. Amen? Now, this is what set Israel apart from all other nations on the earth. That God's promises was with them, that God's Spirit was with them, that His very presence was there with them. And it wasn't their weapons that set them apart. It wasn't their battle cries that set them apart. It wasn't their past experiences that set them apart. It was God's covenant that set them apart. Amen? Without the Holy Spirit, Christianity is this. It's reduced to head knowledge about God. Empty traditions. And kind of like a social club atmosphere. Without the power of the Holy Spirit. Because Jesus, when He said, I'm going to go away, but don't worry, I'm going to send a comforter, someone that's called along beside of. And that person is going to empower you. That person's going to enable you to do supernatural things through My name. And if you will call upon Him, if you will ask for help with Him, He will empower you and cause you to do extraordinary things. How many of you guys remember what I spoke on last Sunday? Do you want ordinary or do you want extraordinary? You know what? I've got one shot and I want extraordinary. I want my life to be extraordinary. Not based on my own goodness, not based on my own set of morality codes, but based on the Word of God. Because a believer that is full of the Holy Spirit, that knows what he's to be about on this earth, is a very powerful, powerful individual. How many of you guys ever heard that book by Rick Warren called Purpose Driven Life? Most everybody. That's what we are to be about. Christians are supposed to not be aimless, powerless, decrepit individuals with no joy. Although you do find them in every church. Amen. I mean, you do. You find them just about in every church. I haven't found one yet in here. Everybody's going, is that me? He's talking about me. But believers are supposed to be different. Moses said, I don't want to go anywhere where you're not going to go with us, because what's going to distinguish us but from any other nation, from any other heathen nation? And that's the point that we should say as well. Lord, empower me with your Holy Spirit, and wherever you want me to go, I'll go. And I don't want to go anywhere that you're not going. Because what distinguishes me in my home? What distinguishes me at my work? What distinguishes me when I'm at the grocery store or when I ram somebody's car like I did this morning is the Holy Spirit. I did. I rammed some poor soul's car. But that's the point, is that the Holy Spirit is supposed to be there to make the difference, to be the deciding difference in somebody's life. I've had people that I've worked with tell me, there's something different about you. What's so different? And I can tell them, it's not because I'm good. It's because who lives within me. It's Jesus that makes up the difference. It's the power of the Holy Spirit that enables us to do the work of the ministry, to step up and to push past our fears and speak for the cause of Christ. Amen? By the way, you guys remember the guy that I told you that I came to the house and he was trying to sell me windows, and afterwards I was, you know, felt the Lord tell me to speak to him, and it was just he and I in our yard. Nobody else was around, and fear grabbed a hold of me, and I didn't do it. The Lord chafed me the next morning when I was praying, and so I met with him Tuesday, and after his spiel was over, he's going to be wrapping my windows and stuff, and after it was over, I said, look, I missed an opportunity last week, and I want to, is it okay if I pray with you? And he goes, what do you mean? And I said, well, last week, I've really felt the Lord tell me to pray for you, and I didn't do it because of fear. And I said, and I want to know, is there anything that I can pray with you about? And he was taken back by that, because he came to sell me windows. And so here I am talking with him, and he was taken back, and he goes, well, he said, everything's good. He said, but I would really like for you to pray over me. And I said, okay, I will. And so we prayed. And I can't tell you how complete and satisfied that made me feel, to pray over him, to be obedient to the Lord, to push back fear. Because I'm going to tell you, fear will overcome each and every one. I don't care if you're a spiritual giant in here this morning. Fear comes on us all. Amen?
Yes.
And the point is that we push past our fear and just be obedient to the Lord. Because 9 times out of 10, if you ask somebody to pray, can I pray for you? Just really feel like I want to pray over you. Is there something I can pray with you about? 9 times out of 10, they're going to bow their head and say, yes, please, pray over me. Very rarely have I ever had anybody reject prayer over their lives. Of course, everybody wants a little extra help, right? And so the point is that we push past those things. We ask the Holy Spirit to empower us, bring revelation to our lives. Now, we need to ask God for fresh revelation of what His church should look like. With it, we will see seasons of spiritual renewal from the Holy Spirit that produces amazingly fruitful evangelism and growing atmosphere of love among believers. Our church name is what? New Freedom Church. Loving people is our tagline. Do you know that you can't properly love people without the power of the Holy Spirit working in your life? You can't properly love the way God loves until you have first taste for yourself that God is good. Taste that love and see that He is good. Because it's that love that separates us, it sets us apart. And if we're truly going to love people as a church, then we need to love people not with our love, because our love has conditions on it. You may say that it doesn't, but it does. But we are to love people with God's love. Because he's demonstrated, well, how does God love? Well, the Bible says again, he's demonstrated his love toward us. And that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. One of his disciples asked him one time, how many times are we supposed to forgive folks? I mean, when they sin against us all the time, I mean, are we supposed to be doormats? Or, I mean, how many times are we supposed to do that? And Jesus said, you forgive them 70 times 7. In other words, keep forgiving them. Keep loving them. And Jesus is saying, you can't forgive 70 times 7 unless you forgive with my love. You can't give 70 times 7 or forgive 70 times 7 unless you have the Holy Spirit empowering you to do so. Amen? Because after the seventh time, I'm like, dude, you've got to go. You know, I can't hang around you anymore. But 70 times 7. Now, that doesn't mean that you go back for more with a smile on your face. That's not what the Bible is saying. But when people sin against you, the only way that you can truly forgive and love somebody is through the power and demonstration of the Holy Spirit. Now, each time the Holy Spirit prompts us to move in a new direction, let's obey him immediately. Let's not be chafed by the Lord. Let's obey him immediately. Amen? And lastly, when the Holy Spirit works through surrendered, faithful people like you and me, Christ will be glorified. He will be glorified. The church will be built up. The word of God will be honored. The kingdom of God will be extended. Why? Because that is why he came. That's why he came. Jesus said, I came to bind up the brokenhearted. I came to loose those who are in captivity. I came to loose them. I came to set them free. And you and I have the same power today, available to us today. And it's called the Holy Spirit. Invite him into your life today. Invite him in to empower you to live this walk called Christianity. Because I'm going to tell you, it is a tough walk. Can I get a witness? It is tough. That's why you have to choose every single day, not just put it on autopilot, but choose every single day that Jesus is the Lord of my life and I surrender to his lordship. And whatever that means, I take it. I bring it in as my own. Do with me what you, redefine who I am. Now for some of us, that's a scary thought. Well, let's just face it, all of us, it's a scary thought. Nobody likes the unknown. But you know what? God has made himself known to us. And know that he is good. And know that the plans that he has for your life is good. He has plans to do good things with your life. To use those broken places in your life that you don't even want to look at and are ashamed of. Those hurtful and wounded places in your life. He wants to use those things so that other people will be built up. Amen? Let's all stand up this morning. This morning, let's all bow our heads, and I want to pray over you today. Before I pray, I want to ask this morning, if there's anybody here today who doesn't know Jesus, doesn't know him as Lord and Savior, today you have such a wonderful, wonderful opportunity to accept a loving Savior that has always had your good at heart. And today, if what I've said has spoken to your life, has touched you, you begin to think about things. What that is the Holy Spirit speaking to you. And I encourage you today, the Bible says that if you hear his voice, do not harden your heart. Invite him in. Jesus said, I stand at the door knocking. He said, if any man would open up the door, I would come in and I would have fellowship with him. And do you know that the fellowship that the Father has is life-changing? The fellowship that Jesus has redefines who you are. Set your life on a course that you could have never imagined for yourself. And today I make that plea to you. Everybody's head bowed and eyes closed. If there's anybody here today who'd like to accept Christ as Lord, renounce their sin in their life, and accept Christ as Lord and Savior, I just want you to raise your hand up and put it down. I want to pray over you. Okay. Anybody else? You say, Pastor, I've been away from the Lord, and maybe you're here today, and this is the first time you've been in church in a long time, and I want to be the first to say, I'm glad to see you. And you may be away from the Lord, and you've heard this message, and it's made a difference in your life, and you want to come back to the Lord, and you're tired of running, and you want to come back to the Lord. Today, if that's you, I just want you to raise your hand, put it back down. I want to pray over you. Okay. Dana, will you come up? So what I want to ask you to do, I want to ask you to come forward, and I want to pray over you. If you raise your hand, I just want you to come forward. Everybody's head bowed and eyes closed. I just want you to have enough courage to step out of that seat and to come forward. And I want to pray with you. And God's going to make you new. And He's going to meet you where you are. Come on over here, man. Right here, brother. I'm sorry. If you would, would you just kind of stay in an attitude of prayer for a minute? And I want to pray over these guys and speak into their life. And if you want to, you can have a seat. And we're going to dismiss in just a minute, okay? But just for now, just hold right where you're at, okay? All right. Steph, will you come up?